It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. The Lightning is on the street. The Lightning is in your mailboxes. And it is Thursday, so the Lightning is on the radio. Lightning Radio featuring Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill Moss.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Happy to be back here on a Lightning Leap Day.
Leap Day. 4 years ago, and won't have another one for another 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be a while before we get to celebrate the four-year anniversary of this show.
Yes, it will be. It will be.
But it'll be worth celebrating.
Yes, it will. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Bill, we've got a lot to cover. Boy, look at my list. We got a lot to cover today, so let's get to it. The Lightning is full of community news. Let's start with something we touched on last week because it was in it was on your website, but it wasn't in the print version yet. But now it's in the print version, and that is this huge expansion that UNC Health Party is planning.
It's around $80 million total, yeah. Lots of primary care, basically doubling the number of primary care docs from around 53 currently to just around 100, 103 and change, something like that. Price tag is sitting around $80 million now. Wouldn't surprise me if that were to go up a bit when you talk about, especially some of the higher-end stuff they're going to do, not the primary care units necessarily, but on the main campus, such as operating rooms, specialty care, maybe some infusion, that sort of thing. So we actually got a good a patented Hendersonville Lightning, what we call a 2x2, which is two pictures over two pictures. And the 2x2 picture caption says this: UNC Health Party plans to open new primary care practices on property the hospital has under contract on Spartanburg Highway. We say here, top left, but you can't see it on the radio, across from Brian Easler Toyota, so kind of in your neighborhood, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right around the corner.
And next to Party's Surgery Center at Mills River. That's a really nice day surgery clinic. They've opened up there, top right. I'll quit saying that. A new brick-and-mortar medical office building will replace the two modular buildings in Brevard that Pardee put up in 2021 to quickly respond to the need for primary care physicians in Transylvania County when the incumbent, then HCA-owned healthcare providing, wasn't going so well. And now it's going a lot better with Pardee having a pretty impressive footprint already in Transylvania. And then finally, we'll add, as we mentioned, operating rooms and specialty care practice space on the main campus here in Hendersonville. So a lot of excitement there as we, in talking about mission. Commissioner Michael Edney, who is a county commission liaison member of the Pardee Board of Directors, noted that Pardee's expansion is being driven in part by the shortcomings of Mission, which has been a target of patient dissatisfaction, and more recently warnings by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for its quality care. It was in what CMS termed immediate jeopardy of losing its eligibility to be reimbursed by those two very huge federal health programs, which generally in hospitals account for anywhere from probably 60 to 70% of their revenue. I know they do it at Pardee.
Yeah.
Pardee is the largest hospital in the western part of the state, other than Mission, which I don't know if you can count as hospital anymore, Edney said at that county commission meeting last week. The demise of Mission has put a lot of pressure on us here locally to step up and fill voids as a community hospital. We're service-bound not only to take care of our own, but also address the region's issues, especially the specialty care aspects of it. So what they see, Mark, is, getting these primary care units up and running, having lots of customers in them, and eventually they will need referrals to the some more acute, higher-up specialty care, and that part will be populated by these new surgeons and physicians and specialists,
right,
mostly in the home office, mostly there on the Pardee campus. We don't have a site on the Pardee campus for that yet. The others are pretty well known. Of course, that's this land across from Brian Easler is under contract, and I think they'll soon have land in a yet-to-be-named location under contract in Brevard.
Okay. I wondered how much of this expansion talk was due to what was happening at Mission. So it's interesting that that was brought up.
Yeah, I think it's organic growth in population and the need.
Sure.
And interestingly, as it shows, not just in Henderson County, but Transylvania is really big. Arden, Skyland, Southern, you know, South Buncombe, insofar is already served by the clinic there on the county line, which is actually still, I guess, the shared space with Mission. So you have that as well. So really, the footprint expansion, I would say, is expanding where they already are, Henderson County, also where they already are in Transylvania, and look for more over time in Buncombe. And with some of these, like the cardiology that they're doing, the stroke care, by one measure, the best in the state, is attracting patients from all across Western North Carolina, even beyond our immediate counties.
Hmm. Any comments from Advent Health?
No. I mean, they're pretty aggressive themselves.
And,
you know,
right,
they've gotten permission for that new ER, I think it is, in South Buncombe. So I would say, as you mentioned, the demise of the struggles of the now profit corporation HCA and its struggles there in Asheville has opened opportunities for these two. UNC Health is pretty big. Advent Health is very big. So there's some capital there, and there's some smart people, obviously, that run both of them. And I think you'll continue to see investment by both of them.
So let's stay on that subject. You have another headline here. HCA files a plan to fix deficiencies at Mission.
Yeah, and this is a good story. This is a pickup, which Carolina Public Press is happy for us to do, by Carolina Public Press. And it was very thorough, very comprehensive, and it was a pretty good it was watchdoggy, too. It was a pretty it had some, I would say, some skepticism by various nurses and some other sources that say, well, whatever HCA is promising to do, we're not sure it may work, but we're not sure how permanent it might be.
Mm-hmm.
As we say, is staffing up going to be temporary? The general feeling among all of us nurses is that we are going to have maybe a month or two of being fully staffed. Then, as soon as the attention is off the hospital, as soon as the government steps away, as soon as the media steps away, we will go back to the way things were, end quote, by a nurse that they quote. But we should note that I have just noticed this, and so we'll try to get it in, that apparently they have been able to ease off, or CMS has eased them off the immediate jeopardy stamp. So for now, I guess they'll still be able to cash the reimbursement checks for Medicare and Medicaid.
Interesting. Before we go on a break, Bill, let's go to our next story. And this is something you've been following for a bit. And this is the city supporting the release of that shooting that took place at the Orchard Bar and Grill, just right around the corner up here. What's the story on that?
Maybe this will bring some more clarification. Hard to say whether it will bring any solace or satisfaction to the family of this 30-year-old, but the story is this. Hendersonville police have petitioned a Superior Court judge to release that to the victim's mother, that video, four police videos, three body cams and one dash cam taken at the scene of that shooting outside the Orchard Bar and Grill on Thanksgiving night in the early morning hours of what would have been the next day, around 2:30 a.m. Patricia Ann King, the mother of the gentleman that was killed, Elijah Edwards Timmons III, has repeatedly implored authorities to reverse their decision not to file charges after their announcement on December 10 that they had found the shooting to be self-defense. She just has told the council repeatedly now that she does not like the result, the reception she's received wherever she's gone, whether it's to the city police, the city internal affairs, Henderson County, the Henderson County Sheriff's Office, General Counsel, and so on. My case, my son's case, she recently told the city council, has been treated like a speeding ticket. But at the tail end, if you don't mind, I'll get Mr. Conant's response.
Yeah, of course.
Mr. John Conant, the city manager of Hendersonville, gave an extensive defense of everything the city police had managed to do, given that they wish more people had come forward. They suspect more people in today's day and age might have a smartphone video. There may be eyewitnesses that could have helped them bring charges. They know who the shooter is, bring charges against the shooter. I will say, if anyone wants to come forward, well, let me read a little before. After reviewing the case, they made that sentence. Both Chief Blair Mahan and District Attorney Andrew Murray told the Lightning back in last month, they wished more eyewitnesses had come forward and they would gladly reopen the case if new information came to light. Conant told the council the same thing. I will say, if anybody wants to come forward, the police department would welcome any additional evidence, video, and would like nothing more than to charge somebody with a crime.
Ah.
And police officers, he said, have spent countless hours meeting with Ms. King and her representatives, Angela Beaker, the city attorney. Quote, one Friday afternoon, spent 4 hours with Ms. King and her representative and showed Ms. King what legally she could see. So where this stands now is there's part under state law of these body cam and dash cam footage.
Yep.
That they cannot show her, even as obviously a family of the victim. But under state law also allows the city, which it has done, to petition a Superior Court judge, in this case, Chief Resident Superior Court Judge Peter Knight, I believe it's going to be, to look at the video and to hear their petition in a hearing next week on releasing those, not to the public at large, not to the media, not to the Lightning, and we're not a party to the case, by the way, but to Ms. King.
In hopes that she would, in hopes that someone would be found guilty.
I would say in hopes that, I think they would say, look, this is what we had to go on, and we've told you that we, there's nothing here that shows this supports our finding that it was self-defense. I think that's what they're going to say. And some other part of it is her own case. She was charged with crossing the police line, resisting arrest, and assaulting a law officer because she allegedly punched a sheriff deputy in the face.
Oh,
so she was charged with those things, and she has complained about her treatment in the course of that arrest. So part of it is, well, you know, if the judge releases this, we'll show you what we had to go on.
Of course.
So that's I'd say it's kind of a two-part thing. They will try to address her concerns over that as well.
Okay. So we'll continue to hear more about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Lightning will be there.
All right. Folks, you're listening to Lightning Radio here on The Cue with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. We will be back with great stories like the pain in the butt hearing. You gotta keep it tuned here to The Cue for Lightning Radio.
Cold weather is coming, so now is the time to get prepared. Kaysen Oil has quality heating oil products and experience you can trust. Let the experts at Kaysen Oil help you heat your home with reputable brands, superior customer service, and competitive prices. Call Kaysen Oil at 693-0246 today to schedule your delivery. Kaysen Oil, family owned and operated, serving the community for over 50 years. Again, the number to call is 693-0246. 2246. Case and Oil, stay warm and stay fueled.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chris at Diamond Rush Jewelers. And if you're looking for a convenient jeweler, then we'd love to help. Located in Laurel Park, where parking is so easy, come and see us anytime. We're glad to help. Downtown Brevard and in Laurel Park Village.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Do you have pain in your head, shoulders, knees, or toes? Or anywhere in between? Dr. Freed has been serving Henderson County with exceptional chiropractic care since 1998. With over 30 years of experience and over 105 star reviews on health grades, Dr. Freed takes the time to listen to his patients, to answer questions, and to explain his diagnosis and plan for treatment clearly. Dr. Freed accepts most insurance, so don't wait. Schedule your appointment by calling 696-9090.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's move on to something that is now being referred to as the pain in the butt hearing. This is all regarding the property over at Canoga and center that they're trying to build there. So the hearing was held. And tell us the rest of the story.
I'll tell you the rest of the story is, as I sat through this, I said, I can hardly cover this with a straight face anymore because of everything that went on over two nights, more than 10 hours of this hearing. And this is the problem with special use cases. Because it's quasi-judicial, there's lawyers, there's expert testimony, there's voir dire, there's objections to a fare thee well. So Andrew Little spoke for all in the room, the Lightning reports, a room filled to capacity with supporters and opponents of a animal-assisted, Newfoundland dog specifically, therapy enterprise on forested land in southern Henderson County. When he articulated his frustration with the case at hand, this is the problem with growth and the archaic zoning laws that we have at times. Special use, Mr. Riddle said, special use permit. It's a special pain in the butt. And all said, hallelujah, hosanna, amen. So you can read it all. It runs about more than 1,000 words, just north of 1,000 words. But among the quasi-judicial hearing, like others before, it featured a familiar cast of characters. There were homeowners who excavated far corners of the world wide web to paint a dark picture of noise, light, odors, traffic, and human misery that the proposed use would purportedly cause. There was applicant's attorney, Brian Golden, the hired gun with the self-amplified voice, Tommy Gun interjection of, "We would object!" And the welcome pronouncement at long last after lawyerly interrogations on direct, cross, redirect, and recross that, quote, those would be our questions. And then finally, kind of tell about Wesley. Best part of the whole story is we have a headshot of Wesley.
Yep.
Even Wesley, a recently rescued Newfoundland who napped on the thin pile institutional carpet, could not abide. He was mercifully liberated from the 5.5-hour marathon at halftime. The somber face of the gentle giant may be Wesley's default visage, but the ZBA proceedings would give any Newfie ample reason to sigh in despair. In fact, speaking of sad faces, our nominees to be the first clients of the Therapy Center for people who have suffered emotional and mental exhaustion from an external life event, not of their own making, would be all the unfortunate souls forced to endure more than 10 hours of the zoning trial.
Wow.
So that I tried to capture the spirit of it in that this shouldn't be happening. We just shouldn't be having these emotional, you know, lawyered things over these cases like this.
So what ultimately, what's the final? What ultimately
happened? The outcome.
Yeah, the outcome.
The outcome was they approved it with conditions.
Gotcha.
They approved it. Only have it from 8 to 5, except for it was either, I think, six nights a year you could have, like you might be having a fundraiser, or some clients that can't get there except at nighttime. So there could be six of those up to 10 at night. Limited the size, the size of the sign, and it has to be uplit, which is one of those little spotlights from the ground up.
Right.
It won't be, you know, it won't be lit from inside. Limited, there has to be a buffer between
sure.
the therapy center okay. and a next-door neighbor's property. And they're going to try to move the driveway a little bit away from another set of homeowners that opposed it.
Okay. All right. It'll be interesting to hear more about that one. Let's talk about the recent deputy firing that happened for shooting in an apartment parking lot, Bill.
Yeah, we have an unusual amount of police blotter news in this week's issue, not only the front page story about that previous shooting, but this was another very odd case that happened on Friday morning when a sheriff's deputy observed a young man apparently beating on or otherwise vandalizing his patrol cruiser and pulled out his service gun, I guess it was. Well, he was off duty, so I'm not sure, and fired at him and winged him in the arm or shoulder, I think it was. Fortunately, he was okay. Certainly, fortunately for the deputy he shot, he was okay. He
yeah.
would have been in a worse fix if not. But Joshua Rankin, whom Sheriff Lowell Griffin fired within hours of the shooting, was charged with felony assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious bodily injury. Hendersonville Police Department served the warrant, took Rankin into custody without incident. He was released on a $20,000 bond and does face those charges.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty serious. So the kid was vandalizing his car, his cruiser?
That was, according to one witness that actually picked that up on Facebook. So treat that information
sure.
with,
okay.
with
right.
the, as much reliability as that deserves.
Okay. All right. Let's stay on the police blotter because we have a story, of course, of this missing elderly man. There was a massive search, and he was found, but unfortunately too late.
Yeah, sadly, two more deaths here. This one was the elderly man who went missing Thursday afternoon. He was found dead Sunday morning after a massive search by 26 law enforcement agencies and fire departments over 2 days, the city said in a news release. And the gentleman here that died was Orrin Jefferson Brown, 85. Heard since then, it's not in this story, that he had gone fishing. I'm not sure exactly what happened to him, but I guess they found him with his fishing gear. But what's neat about this story is a shout-out. Over 2.5 days, more than 200 first responders were involved in the investigation, and the city of Hendersonville lists all of them, and you can read them in the Lightning. It's
wow.
really cool. I mean, Shelby, Caldwell County, of course, locally, Etowah, Lincoln County.
Wow.
Polk County, Saluda. Gaston County, they came from pretty far to help search for Mr. Brown.
Mm. Another story about another passing, and that, of course, the pedestrian that was struck on 64.
Sadly. Just after dark on Saturday night, there were reports, I guess, to 911 of a gentleman really seeming to struggle to walk, kind of stumble around Orrs Camp Road. So you can just imagine what happened next when he tried to make his way east on Four Seasons Boulevard / US 64 toward Walmart and I-26, and around I-26 he was struck by a car. They did get him to Pardee. They treated him. They get him to Pardee by ground, I'm sure, and they did. And they airlifted him to Mission, where he died from his injuries. It was determined that the pedestrian was intoxicated and no charges were filed against the driver. The man was homeless, the city police say, and officers were still working on Sunday to make next of kin notification. So we did not at that point have an ID.
All right. Bill, let's talk about road maintenance updates. People are always interested in this. This is always a big story. Anytime.
Yeah, you've seen it. There's two sets of this. I think most of the Acusta Trail tree removal, I believe, well, most of it right in and around Laurel Park and White Pine. I think most of that's probably done. But there's another set of tree cutting going on, right? So tree cutting on Bavard Road in Laurel Park. the removal of buildings on NC-91, and also a fair amount of tree cutting there. Culvert work along Highland Lake Road are the most visible signs of ongoing and upcoming NCDOT projects. So we got two sets of bullets here, Mark. Here are projects currently underway, percent completed, construction costs, and projected completion date. You want to hear about that?
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
People are always asking about when will this ever be over? It's got Highland Lake Road. Now, I'm just going to say where it says $6.7 million, I'm pretty sure that must be construction costs because I know the overall cost, including design, engineering, right-of-way acquisition, that's up north of $10 million now. Only 44% complete, and of course, a revised completion date is being developed.
That's Highland Lake Road, only 44%?
Yeah, I know. And
that surprises me.
It surprises me, too. And I actually do question that, but that's the official NCDOT number.
Okay.
What they have out there that's going to be time, it's going to close again because they have not done that King Creek culvert.
I was wondering about that. Somebody was asking me about that the other day.
That's a big culvert, and that's a big project, and of course you'll have to close it. And interestingly, there's a nice, if you can drive on it now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course we do all the time.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice coating of pavement now, but there'll be another final coat of pavement, of asphalt over there.
So it's going to be even better.
It's going to be even better. The curb and gutter is there. You can see it's taking shape. And then after that, the next project for the village of Flat Rock is to replant the trees because they lost the trees along the border there.
Right.
They're going to be replanting trees at the edge of the park.
Right.
I-26 Green River Bridge expansion. This one looks a lot better. $25 million, 61%. That's going to be expanded so it can eventually be six lanes if and when the I-26 six laning ever makes its way east of Four Seasons Boulevard down to the Polk County line.
Okay.
And so forth. King Street, North Main repaving, $2.5 million, 86% complete. Striping delayed for weather. I-26 drainage repairs. This is actually Polk County Saluda Grade, $16.5 million. That's 70% done, and they got completion date of that coming up, March 2024.
Okay.
Here are projects in the adopted NCDOT plan, estimated cost and projected contract let date. Clear Creek Greenway. This was interesting. I didn't know it was that far along. Berkeley Mills Park to Lakewood Road, which that's near the post office annex and Sam's Club.
Yep.
Think of that.
Yep.
$1.8 million. That says June 2024. I didn't know that was coming along to that degree. But they don't have to go through any really public areas to get that.
No.
I think it's along the sewer outfall line mostly.
Yep.
U.S. 64 improvement and roundabouts from Blythe Street to Daniel Drive, $31.75 million, July 2024. That's a let date on that.
What's that mean? What does that mean?
Contract let date.
Okay.
That should be the contract let date.
Okay.
So we're looking 2025 or beyond for that to be done. And this is interesting that they already got this on there. Acosta Trail, not the part under construction now that there's a lot of hullabaloo about, but it's coming along well. But the next segment and the last segment in Henderson County, U.S. 64 to County Line on the other side of Etowah, $13 million. But it's a ways off, September 2027.
Okay.
Blythe Street sidewalk, $2 million, September 2026. South Grove Street sidewalk, $2.7 million, July 2026. I-26 exit 49,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, doggish, $29.5 million, January 2029.
Wow.
So don't look for that improvement for a while.
Wow.
South Main Street realignment and White Street extension.
Yep.
$46 million, October 2026.
Is when that will start? Or been when
that's it... contract let, yeah. Now, yeah, that there that right away is underway. That's a long way off too. And that is part of the project that deals with the South Main, South Church, South King confluence there. Deals with the bridge. The Mud Creek Bridge, but also deals with White Street. I think this is all one project.
Mm-hmm.
And that White Street extension that goes behind Walmart and right through the middle of Jones Commercial Property to Spartanburg Highway.
Okay. and there's going to be a roundabout somewhere on that.
I think that what I just said with that, those three.
That will be a roundabout.
Big roundabout.
Is it going to deal with the flooding that happens there also?
I'm holding you to it, Bill. Has anything yet dealt with the flooding that happens there?
Exactly. Nope, it just keeps coming.
No, with some of the rules that, maybe that's kind of.
Let's touch on a couple of community briefs, and then let's end it, of course, with the IAM 40th Anniversary Swing Band Concert that's coming tonight, Bill.
Of course. On page 9, you can look at the Young Artists Honored in Black History Contest, sponsored, kind of co-sponsored by the Boys and Girls Club and U.S. Cellular, which has a store on Fort here in town on Four Seasons Boulevard. And they congratulated Sophie Kreese and third place winner Heavenly Michelle, I guess it is. Her name is Heavenly Michelle. And the second place winner, Amiri Eilis, was unable to attend. But nice picture there of the Cellular folks and the Boys and Girls Club and our wonderful mayor, Barbara Vogt, and his alma mater, which New Jersey native who went west, young man, to University of Wyoming to get his engineering degree. Well, the University of Wyoming honored William G. Bill Lapsey, our county commissioners, in a decades-long career, had a hand in dozens of major construction projects and subdivisions, and also spearheaded Henderson County's early, I'm talking about 70s and 80s, economic development efforts. He is being honored as Distinguished Engineer for 2021. Thank you very much, Dave and Nancy Bayless.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes had a lot to do with that.
All right. Bill, you going to be at the swing band concert tonight?
Going to go to the zinc-plated swing band concert playing the gold.
Yes. If you've not seen the Hendersonville Swing Band, you have no idea what you're missing. They used to play for the Kiwanis every year. There was a Kiwanis swing band concert every year. Those guys are fantastic. And Jerry Zink is so much fun in between songs.
It's fun. The Jerry Zink patter is it can't be topped. So it'll be a fun time with really good MCs, I hear.
Well,
Mark and Paige of the Breakfast Club.
We'll see.
We'll be MCing. There's a little history, some tribute, some well-deserved tribute to Interfaith Assistance Ministry.
Sure, 40 years
and
of service.
And it's 40 years of serving needy families through the food pantry, clothing closet, and its many crisis intervention services. That is 6 o'clock tonight at Bo Thomas.
So, and you can buy tickets at the door, by the way, if you don't have yours. So help us help IAM leap into the next 40 years on this Leap Day Hendersonville Swing Band concert tonight. And a huge thanks to Jerry Zink and the 16 or 17 guys that will be singing and carrying horns and all that tonight for us helping support IAM. Bill, there's still so much more in this week's Lightning. We never can touch on all of it. Where can people get their copy?
By going around the county, Mark, to any of the Lightning Orange racks, if they are not fortunate enough to be a current subscriber. But in order to join the growing legion of fans who are subscribers, go to HendersonvilleLightning.com, the website, and click on subscribe. And that's exactly how it will walk you through how to do that. Or just call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.